Seeing all of you and just so thankful to be here. Such a sweet spirit already and special singing back there. Heard one of my favorite songs and a little singer back there. I heard him singing that earlier this week and I thought that's all right. What a blessing. He's clapping his hands. What a blessing. Amen. Amen. What a sweet spirit tonight and a special time, a special service. A special prayer service. I'm looking forward to that, but I also want to say how good it is to see Brother Dale tonight. I wasn't expecting that, but what a blessing. Got to talk to him a little bit yesterday, I believe it was, and just so good to see him. I wasn't expecting that, Brother, but I'm glad you're here. So glad you're here. And looking forward to our prayer service tonight, service for Brother Ben. He had asked us to pray over him with his upcoming procedures and what have you. And you know, that's very biblical. And it's been a lot of good time in study over this and seen it preached. I've heard it preached several times, studied over it several times. But it's one of those things that seems like maybe you see something new every time you go over it, something a little bit deeper. And there's a lot to it, a lot to look at here. And so just to kind of give you an idea of kind of what I've got in my mind is to preach tonight, this message to you in James chapter number 4, if you'd like, or sorry, chapter number 5, if you'd like to be turning there, verses 13 through 18, about the prayer of faith. I was thinking about a different title for it, but I think that's what everybody knows this to be about. It's about prayer, but the prayer of faith. For those who ask for it, and I think what I would like to do, the way I'd like to do this at the end of the service is to have Brother Ben come up. I'll invite the deacons and Brother Tim to come forward, and we'll gather around Brother Ben and have a time of prayer and invite anybody else who would like to come at that time as well. And what I was thinking about doing, since it is our prayer, regular prayer time service also, is also have any object or prayer request prior to that. And then after, I was thinking, honestly, Brother Tim, I was going to ask you to pray for Brother Ben. And if it's all right, Preacher Bill, I was going to ask you to pray for the objects tonight. And so after the prayer for Brother Ben, go into the prayer for the objects. And since we'll be here together, I think that might be the orderly way to do it there. So I just wanted to kind of give that to you so that way you'll kind of know and kind of what's in my mind and how to approach it. And so in looking at this, it kind of brought back some memories to me. I've never requested a prayer like this. I've never requested it. But it did make me think about something, about the power of God. And, you know, you could leave it up to debate. You could leave it up to question. But I believe that God gives us His Word very literally. I believe that with all my heart. Brother Ben's situation that I'd been through before, and you can take it with a grain of salt. You can say one way or the other. I can't prove it. But for me personally, this was several years ago. I guess around 2017, 2018. The doctors, due to my numbers, what have you, they wanted me to have a sonogram on my liver. Check that out and everything. And in doing that, you know, they're like, yeah, you got, you know, non-alcoholic fatty liver. There's a whole big long title there. But they said, but more importantly, we saw something on your pancreas, a shadow or some mark on your pancreas. And we really encourage you to do some more testing. And so I was kind of more than nervous about it. I'd never, you know, heard anything like that before, anything like that. And so my mind went to it, and I didn't Google it. I mean, I was actually praying over it, and I know Mom was. Mom, you know, nervous about it, what have you, and different things. And Brandy, of course, she started Googling it. That's what she does. Dr. Brandy will Google it. I don't care what it is. And she didn't tell me this till after the fact, and I didn't go into it that far. But she started looking at it. She kind of got nervous because it was some time in between the actual, when they found it through the scan, the first scan that they did, the sonogram that they did, then they ordered the CAT scan, so that was some time, and then there was a time after the CAT scan you had to wait for the results and what have you. And Brandy had been Googling in the meantime, and it said, you know, this could be terminal. It could be a terminal situation. Now, your pancreas is one of those things that you don't want to mess with. And so we kind of went through that period of time or what have you, and I remember it just very, very clear, Brother Ben. Me and Josh were together. We had gone to take some photos of a house over in over in Banner Elk. A matter of fact, it was the property that he got married at. And he and I were together that day, and he took the time to be with me. And on the way home, they called and they said, "Hey, we just want to let you know your skin came back clear. There's nothing there. There's nothing there." And I said, "No, what was that again?" I was driving down the road. I said, "So you're saying you didn't find it?" He said, "Sir, there's nothing there. There's nothing there." And so you can say, "Well, it was just a shadow." Maybe it was. Maybe it was. But there is no telling. I tell you, it was real to me, Brother Ben. I'll never forget how I felt. I'll not forget how the weight was there and the weight was gone. And the only thing I can say, God did something. You know, that's where my heart lies at. And I remember Mom, she's praying, "Lord, give it to me. Don't give it to him." You know, it's one of those kind of times. But I tell you, I just give God the glory for that. And I know he is our maker. He has the power. He has the ability, Brother Dale, and he has the authority to do that. Amen. He does. He does. I know he gives medical treatments to people. I know that he's helped people to have minds to help one another, and I don't discredit that. Thank the Lord for good numbing. You go to the dentist, "I want it. I want it. A double portion, please." You know, I don't want to feel that if I don't have to. Thank God it's there. But I tell you, God has the authority to do things. And I love seeing things that he prescribes for us in his word. So let's read these verses. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we will get started in this tonight. But what it says here, James chapter number 5, verses 13 through 18. James talking here about prayer. And this kind of, there's a much to be said in the Bible about prayer. And Sister Carrie had mentioned this, Carrie Goodman, she had mentioned this. About our Sunday school class wanting to talk on the topic of prayer. So my mind has kind of been there for a little bit now and looking at it different ways. So this kind of goes right in together with that. But it says here, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Look at verse number 16. This isn't just about Brother Ben tonight or the candidate that's being prayed over tonight. Look what it says here. It says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for those who are able to be here tonight. God, be here with us for this special time of prayer. God, we just thank you for that. We thank you for your word, what it says, how it guides us, Lord. Just what it says in there. It's amazing to me how often I open your word, God, and just see a different instruction that's given to us, Lord. It's not about making something up or doing something, Lord, that's unfounded or undoctrinal, God, but just following your word explicitly, literally, God, the way that you've given it to us. Lord, I just thank you so much for that. That we don't have to wonder what to do or think about things or try to figure things out on our own, God, but you have definitely given us a guidebook, a path, and that we can follow in the footsteps of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just thank you so much for that, Lord. Lord, I pray for the objects of prayer that will be mentioned tonight. Lord, I pray for our church. I'm just so thankful to be able to be here tonight and to be here with those who are able to be here. And we pray for those who are not able to be here. So thankful to see Brother Dale tonight. Lord, was not expecting that, but what a special surprise and blessing. Lord, we just thank you for that. We pray for those who aren't able to be here, and we just ask that you be with them. Those listening in, God, we pray for them and the objects that they have on their hearts tonight, God. But I pray that you guide me tonight. Guide us through this prayer time, God. Guide us through this, Lord, that it be done exactly the way you'd have it to be. We don't want to quench the Spirit in any way. We want your Spirit to have free reign, Lord. That's what it's all about. It's all about you. It's all about you and seeking your will, God. And I just thank you so much, Lord, that we have the petitions that we have through you, Lord. I thank you for that. God, I pray you go with us now. Lead us and guide us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You see some good plain talking here, this first verse in 13, to kind of get things started. It kind of gives us exactly what to do. Tells us what to do and not to put on a show. It's easy maybe sometimes to try to do that, but it plainly says what to do. Is any among you afflicted? There's times that you're going to come to church and you're not going to feel like shouting. You're not going to feel like jumping up and taking part or what have you. You're carrying a load. And the Bible actually addresses that. It sees that and it talks about that. It said, as if any among you is afflicted, let him pray. Tells you what to do there, to slow down. And there's a lot about prayer. I won't go into all of those things here tonight, but hopefully, Lord willing, in Sunday school, plan to talk about that a lot more. But it also goes on to say, is any merry? Let him sing psalms. So you see both sides of it here. You see both sides of what a person can go through. He's saying here, if you are afflicted, just pray. It's all right to be solemn. It's all right to pray. But it's also saying, if you're merry, if you're happy, it's all right to show that too. It's all right to sing. It's all right to show your enthusiasm in the house of God. It's all right to do that. And it's all about the Lord and thinking about what He has done, what He is doing, and what He's going to do for us. But to go more so into what we're talking about here tonight, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, you look at this first part, is any sick? That means affected with a disease of any kind. We know what sick means. I've thought about it like this too, Brother Ben. Not only just physically sick sometimes, but maybe mentally. Mentally things that's going on. Something that is continually going on in a person's life. And they want to seek the help and the advice of God. That's what this is talking about here. I want you to know, and I know you've probably been to a service like this before. You've heard about this. But I want you to know that there's nothing secret in the oil. There's nothing secret in it. I want you to know that. I liken it to this. You think about the two ordinances that God gave to us. We are people who can see and understand symbolism. There's a lot of symbolism in the Bible. Paul uses that a lot. He gives illustration about the Olympics, about races, about athletics and things, because that's something you and I can relate to. The same thing about the ordinances that we have in the Bible. When we think about the Lord's Supper, it represents His broken body. It represents His blood, and it's something that we do together in fellowship. Likewise, you think about baptism, and again, that's the only two ordinances that are given, but you look at baptism, it is a like figure unto how the Lord has forgiven us of our sins, and it shows how He has died for us, how He was submerged into the earth, and how He rose again. And you see that, what you see there in that illustration is you see the gospel. And when you see this here, I want you to know that the anointing, the oil or oil in the Bible is a type or a symbol of the presence of God. That's what that means. That's the representation there. I want us to see that. Again, somebody, how this has worked is very plain. Now, that's, again, how I love how the Bible is. I could make this, probably try to make this difficult or try to make it bigger than what it is or not what it is, but God makes it very plain in His Word exactly what it is. How it's prescribed, how it's said to be done here. Is any sick among you? And it says, let him call for the elders. That doesn't mean that if I say, hey, Brother Dale, I think you need to do this. That's something that you would ask for. That's something the person would ask for. You see, this is something that you got to realize. I appreciate the faith and the prayers and the encouragement from my brothers and sisters. But see, what you're talking about here also is an inward faith that God is calling for. And that's why the person would ask for this. Why a person would extend that faith or be asking for this from God themselves. They being the one that would ask. It asks for the elders, those in the church, the deacons in the church, the pastor of the church, those who have spent time in the church. I'll say that. Elders, I know many times we use that as a phrase for deacons, but also those who are faithful to the house of God and have been for many years. I've got faith and confidence. I use the word faith, but let's say confidence in people like that. People that can get a hold of God. There's a lot more to praying than thinking you can do it in just that instance. If you study out prayer, if you study out the Lord's Prayer and all the things, when the disciples asked the Lord to teach them how to pray the certain way he says to do it, let me tell you something. You can't do that in just a second. It takes a little time. You say, oh, really? No, I'm telling you. Brandy and I were talking about prayer the other night. She said, you know, when you hear these objects of prayer, are we supposed to pray over all those objects of prayer like we're going to pray over this object of prayer tonight? Do you pray that way? Do you have a different sense of urgency sometimes in your prayer? I think sometimes maybe we prioritize things as least important down maybe to the most important thing, and maybe we put more effort in the most important thing, but if you're taking it to a holy God, is it not all important? And I tell you, Brother Ben, one of the most important things is remembering who we're addressing. That's a very important thing. If you really study out prayer and what it talks about, you don't just go to God any old time, any old way. Not if you want to actually get through. It's easy to say words. It's easy maybe sometimes to know what you would want to see happen or say those things, but it's different when you're actually earnestly praying for those things. It's different. Maybe if your life is depending on it, you've got a different urgency about you. And you'd want those around you having that same urgency. I say all those things to say this. If you want to be a prayer warrior, it's a full-time job. It's not a part-time job that you pick up and lay down. It's a full-time job. And he's saying here, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And so when you put those things together, anointing, that just simply means, if you look in the Bible, the just rubbing, smearing is the words that I've heard. And most often when you see in the Bible, that has been done around the forehead or the head. I looked this up. And thinking about it that way, that's what the Bible says. You see it in different places. Psalm 23:5, it says, "Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Talking about the relationship with the Savior, with the shepherd. And that was also, I even looked up a little tradition about that. That's also a courtesy that was shown to someone that was welcome to the banquet. It's special treatment, Brother Ben. That's what it's talking about. It's a courtesy. It's a special treatment. But I want you to know what the most important thing about this is what it says after anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. That's the most important thing. You see many times through the Gospels, Mark 6:13, you see many times that the disciples did this very thing, and it said, "And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them." And I want you to know this, and you already know this. I want you to know this, you already know this, but I want to say it. I can't heal anybody. You can't heal anybody. There's nothing in between what you and I can do. You see those kind of things take place on TV. It's all smoke and mirrors, if you will. We know that. I tell you, you think about it this way. If you had the power to heal someone, would you not be at the hospitals turning every one of them loose? How amazing would that be if you had that ability? But you know, if you look, and I'll say this here, if you look back through the apostolic age and what they're talking about here with the disciples, as they had the power to do these things, their power, their authority, let's put it that way, their authority was limited. There were some things that they couldn't do, and they asked Jesus, how come we couldn't do this? This type only comes with prayer and fasting. So there's some things that they could not do or were not capable of doing. And I think you'll find also as you study through, as the end of this apostolic age come down, there were times there at the end that even the apostles couldn't do the healing, couldn't perform these things. You see, as an age ends and things change, the dispensation changed, it was a different time. We live in the dispensation of grace. We don't have the authorities and the abilities, but we have the precious opportunity and privilege of prayer. And that's what he's talking about here. And we go on down. I'll go on and say this here. It says, verse number 15, it says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." You look at the prayer of faith. Now, I want to stop here and say this, because this, it's very serious. I've been around situations where people have passed away. I know one particular situation that has laid on my heart in studying this out. Sometimes things just echo in your mind what you've heard somebody say in a real life situation. I know of a father who lost his son. His son had been sick, had cancer, had gotten better with cancer. The treatments that he had gave him leukemia, and he suddenly passed away one night with leukemia. And in talking to his father, this is a young man, he's in his 20s, early 20s, a young man, and just had gotten married. It's one of those situations that is just so tragic. It's just hard to even fathom when you think about it. But I remember one of the things that he said, church. He said, my faith wasn't strong enough to save him. My faith wasn't strong enough. Our faith wasn't strong enough. He had it in his mind, and I can say rightfully so. I'm not judging. But he had it in his mind, had he had more faith, his son would have lived. I want you to know there's something that you and I cannot overwill or overdo, and that's the will of God. I want you to know that. It's very important that you know that. His ways are not our ways. They're past our understanding. There's things like, how in the world could that be in God's will? We don't see it His way. We don't know that. The Bible is very clear and very plain in talking about that. When I was reading these verses, 1 John chapter 5 came to mind, verses 14 through 15. It must be the will of God. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, you and I have in God, that if we ask anything, and if you ever highlight something, highlight this in your Bible, according to His will. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He heareth us. He's listening to us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we get it. That's not what it says. It's not what it says. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. You know what that means, church? You know what a petition is? It's a prayer. You know, signing the petition, if you want something to happen, you know how they'll do that? Say, hey, if we can get 2,000 names, maybe they'll do this. They'll take us serious. When you talk about a petition, that's what he's saying here. He knows that what that means is God knows your heart on that matter. That's what it means. Isn't that amazing that God, who created all of us, will give us that opportunity? Say, you're mine. You're my child. I'll hear you out. I'll listen to you. But it has to be according to His will. We always don't see His will. I say a lot of times we maybe miss it or just don't see it or understand it at all. And maybe throughout life just maybe come to a place of acceptance. And I'll say this. God can answer yes, no, or maybe wait a little while. God answers prayers in many different ways. Not just the way that we think. You know, I want us to know this tonight too. This isn't a scapegoat or a cop-out. You say, that's where I'm getting you, Christian. That's where I'm getting you. You're saying this right here. Well, it just wasn't His will. So why even pray? Why even pray? Because God made it possible that we could do that. Isn't that something? Do you think prayer, I want you to think about this tonight, church. Do you think prayer actually changes anything? Amen? You see, that's important. If we don't believe that prayer can change anything, we're asking amiss, and we might as well not even do it. I mean, the reality of this thing is God has made this possible. And I'll give you an example here in a minute where He gives us an example of actually how it works, how He heard a mortal man just like you and me and answered the prayer. See, He didn't leave us hanging in this situation to try to say, well, here's the thing. If we don't get the prayer answered the way that we wanted it answered, then it just wasn't His will. It's like we can't win either way, right? That's not so. It's not the case. I want us to know this too. And I've thought about this a lot. You and I are not going to live forever. None of us. None of us. So the thought process of saying, as long as I have enough faith, and as long as I pray to be healed in faith, then I'll never die. That's what you're thinking. But what does the Bible say? It's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. That's the Bible. See, there's no allusion to that. But can God extend somebody's days? He absolutely can. You look at King Hezekiah. He extended his days, what was it, 15 years. His time was extended. God hears prayer and he can do what he wants to with that. But I want you to know that again tonight. It has to be according to his will, and that he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions, the requests that we have desired of him. He's heard what we had to say, and he can take that into consideration. How he does that, see, that's above me. God can do whatever he wants to do. And I've thought about it this way. I thought about it this way, Brother Ben, even in my life, just thinking about things, I know I'm not going to live forever. But here's the thing, if I pass away, by the grace of God, I'll be in heaven. Brother Dale, that's a win. That's a win. You think about being away from your child for days, weeks, months, or years, and all of a sudden, Brother Dale, you get to be with them. That's a win. That's a win for the father, and that's a win for the son or the daughter. That's powerful. It's hard for us to see it that way on this side of life, but that's exactly how it is. And he goes on to say here, what he says here, he says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." You actually see twofold here. I think you see a spiritual application right along with a physical application. Now, verse 16 is something that when I look at it, I thought this was very interesting here too. And we know that if we have any iniquity in our heart, God doesn't hear us when we pray. We know that. Church, that's serious. That's serious. You know how easy it is to have iniquity in your heart, hardness in your heart, illness in your heart, bitterness in your heart, fault in your heart, sin in your heart, unforgiveness in your heart? You know how easy that is? I would say, myself included, my heart is not free from all of that. I'm just going to be honest. Has anybody ever hurt you? Anybody ever made you mad and you marked it down up there, and if they cross you again, you remember that? That's iniquity. Jesus doesn't do that to you and I. He takes it east to the west. He throws it away. He remembers it no more. That's what the Bible says, but we got a way of remembering everything. And so, preacher, you know what? They never asked me for forgiveness. Well, you're supposed to forgive anyway. How are you ever going to move on? If you don't forgive even those who haven't asked for it, how would you ever move on? How would you ever pray again? These things that we hold in our hearts. Look what it says right here in verse number 15. It says, "Confess your faults one to another." That doesn't mean, that's not saying get up front of the church and tell everybody what you've done. That means you go to your brother or sister that you've got aught with, you've got unforgiveness with, you've got problems with, and you straighten that thing out. That's what he's saying. See, that's a whole lot. That's why I'm saying you can't just do something this spur of the moment. Hey, we're going to do this. There's a lot more to it than that. Do you have aught with anybody? Is there anything unconfessed between your brothers and sisters that, hey, you know, I really want to make this thing right? I want our relationship to be what it's supposed to be. I want our church to be what it's supposed to be. I want our services to be what they're supposed to be. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Church, I do believe that we pray for each other. But you know, in praying for somebody else, you're helping yourself also. It's reciprocated. It's something that goes for all of us together. That's the beautiful thing about a church that you don't get anywhere else, is that power of prayer and that power of unity under the name of Jesus Christ. Not all families are under the name of Jesus Christ, but a church should be. You think about how powerful that is when you come together that way and you all come together in unity. That is a powerhouse. That's a safe haven. I heard this today, different topic. I heard this today though, but when you have a flock of sheep, you know how vulnerable they are. If you have one very vulnerable, you had a bunch together, you think, oh, they're more vulnerable. But do you know what? You know what the wolf does? The wolf don't go after the 99, he goes after the one. Because it's the most vulnerable. I say that to say this. There's safety inside of a church family. There's safety inside the hedge of the church. The devil even inquired about it. If you go back to the book of Job, that's a real thing. It's a very, very real thing. And what he's saying here, the importance of unity together. Confess your faults one to another. Make sure we're together the way that we're supposed to be. And pray one for another that you may be healed. Pray for your brothers and sisters as we pray for ourselves. And look what it says. This is common scripture. I know you've heard it. But the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's why I believe in the power of prayer. The Bible says it's real. The Bible gives it authority. And you look at what it says here, and me and Brandy talked a lot about this last night, just trying to look over things here and talk about it. It's something that's really been on my heart. But do we pray that way for everything? Or a lot of times, like, Lord, please help this one. Lord, please help that one. Lord, be with that one. That's not very hot, is it? It's not like getting news in the hospital that somebody's potentially passing away unexpected. It's a completely different thing, is it not? But if you want to be a prayer warrior, you've got to be instant in season and out. The Bible teaches so much about these things here. The importance of it. Again, the effectual fervent prayer, the continual, fervent, consistent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the Bible goes on to give us an example here. How many of you have stopped the rain? Boy, a few months ago we wish we could have, probably wouldn't we? How many of you can stop the snow? How many of you can make the sun stay out? How many of you can make it say 65 year round with no clouds? Might as well raise your hand. Think about it. Look what it says. He said, preacher, you're just talking out of your head. Maybe it's the sinuses. You know, from about here to here, been kind of off this week. And Brandy say, yeah, that's kind of the life story there. But look at this. Elijah. Remember Elijah? He was a powerful person in the Bible, wasn't he? Think about Elijah, Elisha. Elisha wanted a double portion of what Elijah had. Elijah was very convincing. But still yet, it's the same God. But it says here, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Just like you and me. That's up, Brother Tim. If you want the Bible to be real to you, it can be, but you have to do it like it says it. I can't make it real to you. You can't make it real to me. You actually have to apply it just like it says it and not quench the spirit, not push back on it. All of it. All of it. You think about the power of prayer. Look, the Bible, again, there's no secret. The Bible tells us how it is. Elijah's the same. He was a man subject to the same like passions as we are. He was just as sinful as we are. He was just as imperfect as we are. He was just as incapable as we are. But he chose to do something right. The Bible tells us here that he was the type of person that he was effectual, he was constant or consistent in his prayer, and he was very fervent in his prayer. James, I think they called him camel knees because he prayed so much. Let me ask you this, and I don't want to raise the hands. When was the last time you got on your knees and prayed? When was the last time? When was the last time you took it so serious? Whatever it was. That you got alone and you got on your knees and you prayed about that thing, that it was that serious. That it was that serious. There's a lot more to being a prayer warrior than just talking about it. Elias, he was a man of subject to like passions as we are. And look what he did. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not for the space of 3 years and 6 months. He stopped the rain for 3 years and 6 months because God heard. He himself didn't stop it. But the one who could stop it heard it. And what did God do? See, that's amazing to me. God actually gives us an example of what he's talking about. You say, yes, Lord, I hear you. I hear that you're saying that you can do this. He did do that. But guess what? It was because it was in God's will to do it. So you think about Elijah. Think about what that was like. When you look back in the Old Testament, you think about the prophets of Baal and all those things that Elijah went through. And it got down to this point that this drought was needed. That's how it should have been. It was in God's will for it to be that way. Elijah saw that. Elijah felt that. He prayed for that. And you know what God did? God had his petition. He had God's petition. He had it. He heard it. He got through to God. And he said, you know what, Elijah? I'll do that. You see, the thing about it is, when you think about weighing something out, I mean, you know, when you look at, here's the thing. A lot of times you and I see one part, maybe two or three, depending on our family, maybe. But you really only truly see one piece of the puzzle, and that's yourself. Your perspective, maybe your will, your desire, how you want it to be. But you see, God, he don't look down at your will and desire and say, we got to do it just like that. Make it like, see, he sees everything. He takes all that in consideration. He sees everything. And he was able, and he heard what Elijah prayed, and he said, I'll do that. I'll stop it. He gives us the example of how he do it, the power that he can do that. You say, you know what? Yeah, I heard your prayer. Yeah, this is serious, but you know what? I can stop that. I can do that. That won't interfere with my will. You think about God's will as an absolute, or does he give you some leeway? God gives us a lot of forgiveness. If he didn't give us any forgiveness and we had to be in his immediate will, none of us could survive. We couldn't survive. Are you always in the will of God? Are you still here? And that's something. Think about that. Think about that daily. You think about sin. You think about the wages of sin is death. You think about how that is, but how forgiving God is, that he gives you some space to live, make a mistake, but give you forgiveness. When you think about his grace, you think about his power, he hears us from heaven. If you do it the way he asked you to do it, you take it serious and you approach him in the right manner. He says, you know what? Son, I can do that for you. Think about it as parents. We have a lot of parents here. You think about it like this. You think about parents with a couple of different kids, maybe a couple of kids or family, and you have your child come to you and say, hey, can we do this? It's within my authority to do that. I can do that for you. Think about God. Does he not want the best for his children? I've kind of came back to that several times, I think maybe in the last couple of messages, but that's something that's really stayed with me. He wants our best. Even if we're going through our hardest, he still wants our best for us. He still wants his best for us. And think about the importance of that. But again here, I'm closing with this. As Elias was a man subject to like passions, as are we. He was like you and me. He wasn't perfect. He didn't always get it right. He wasn't without sin. He wasn't faultless. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And see, that time passed and it didn't rain. And then he prayed again. And heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. That right there should be, if you're thinking about wanting to be a prayer warrior, that right there should be some key verses to you that it can happen, and it can happen to you and me. It's not something that's unobtainable. I think sometimes, I want to leave this with you. I want to leave this with you, church. I don't want us to think that we don't have the ability to reach our Father and ask him for help, and he cannot respond and not help us. I think sometimes we get locked in that way. We feel helpless. Well, I prayed. I don't know what's going to happen. But he's got us. That's the thing here. He's got us. And I want us to see that. And I want us to know that tonight. I'm going to stop right there. And that's the message. And I want us to see and understand. And I believe you do. I don't want to go over it too much and berate it too much or anything like that. But again, it's not anything any kind of oil or anything like that. It's the prayer of faith, number one. And number two, it has to be in the will of God. It has to be his will. And that's what he's given us here in his word, that it was his will to answer the prayers the way that he did. Before I ask Brother Ben to come up, what I'll do, I'll ask if there's any objects of prayer tonight. And again, what we'll do is I'll have Brother Ben come up.